Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959.
And now we're moving on to another conversation that can be quite interesting as well. So if you've ever wondered whether you should be buying a used car or not, you know, buying a used car can save you a fortune over the equivalent brand new model. But there are also some risks that are involved too. And a great amount of care does need to be taken to ensure that you make the right purchase and aren't sold something that could come back to haunt you. Gerald Mwandyambira, who is acting CEO and chief strategist at the South African Saving Institute, joins us on the line to offer some guides and some advice that you may need to help you get that confidence and get the right deal too. Gerald, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Always a pleasure, and good evening to all your listeners.
So, I mean, as I mentioned in my intro, you know, someone out there is listening thinking, geez, I could do with a new car. And, you know, the used car market can be useful. It can save you a buck. But what should one be looking out for? And should you be buying a used car?
Look, I think the used car market has value for money, especially when you look at the depreciation of the rand versus global currencies. And the fact that the moment you drive out a brand new vehicle from the showroom, it loses 15 to 20% of its value. So there's a lot of value in looking out for used vehicles. So in answer to your question, yes, there's value in a used vehicle, but you need to be very particular and very careful in the vehicle you end up choosing, because the wrong selection can actually end up costing you more in the long run.
Okay, so I had to, you know, learn something new today, and I was saying to Cesar Lomo, who's one of our presenters, he hosts the 3 to 6 o'clock show, and he was, you know, commenting on this and said the first thing he looks at is the chassis when he buys a second hand car. And I had to put myself out there and say that I'm not sure what a chassis is, even though I'm a vehicle owner. So what do you look out for, Gerald, if you were to be buying a second hand car? What matters most to you?
To me, I think the most things that matter the most are things like fuel economy. You can see the petrol price and the diesel price at all-time highs. So you tend to find right now on the used car market cars with larger engine capacities, or in layman terms, bigger engines, which use more fuel, tend to be cheaper. So it sounds great when you look at the luxury car at a giveaway price. But the reason is simply the engine consumes too much fuel. So fuel economy is probably one of the biggest things to look out for when you're selecting a used vehicle. The second thing you probably also then look out for is maintenance. So maintenance is a big thing, because there's vehicles which are assembled and manufactured in South Africa, and then there are other vehicles which are assembled in South Africa, and then there's other vehicles which come in as full imports. You want to try and get yourself into one of the vehicles which has assembly or a large component done in South Africa. The simple reason being that the parts are readily available, and also the expertise and knowledge in terms of servicing and maintaining your vehicle is also wider. So that's very important. A lot of people get value for money in these rare exotic models, but when that car breaks down, either they tell you you're going to wait 2 or 3 months for parts to come in from abroad, or simply there are no mechanics who can help you, and even the dealership itself has a long waiting queue. So service and maintenance is big. Try and go for cars which have a large local presence and a good dealer network. And then thirdly, as Cesar is saying, yes, look for accident damage. Accident damaged cars are often resprayed and they look good as new, but underneath there are problems. And the car, once it has an accident, one, it's more likely to have another accident, because if it's not repaired properly, that misalignment of the chassis can lead you to an accident. And also a car that's been in an accident will start giving you engine problems. A high impact on an engine running at full speed is bound to leave damage inside, even though it may seem like a runner at the time.
That's actually quite interesting, because I think it was earlier this year where I think it was the Vehicle Repair Association saying that they want insurers to give consumers access to the vehicle write-off register so that you can see what has happened to the car that you've purchased, so that you are not one of those unsuspecting consumers. So I'm not sure where that story ended up, but it's actually quite interesting to note that that actually is an issue out there.
Definitely. There's a lot of accident damage cars, and when people, when you put body panels on top. It looks perfect on top. That's why you look at the chassis, which is the underlying metal, and that you can't really paper over. So you can actually see when there's been accident damages, etc. But on the whole, yes, I would definitely say, you know, also look for smaller engine capacities. I think the days of the gas guzzlers and fast cars are running out. If anything, I was reading an article this afternoon that most large car manufacturers intend to do away with internal combustion engines by 2030, which means that in the next 10 years overseas, they'll only be selling electric vehicles. So we need to also have one eye on that, because obviously once those trends start coming through, there's likely to be a glut of used vehicles because people want to upgrade to electric vehicles. So, you know, just be careful in terms of the choices you make now with regards to buying a used vehicle.
On that note then, I mean, you know, the cool kids or the you only live once generation might be thinking, but there are nice, shiny, fancy cars out there. Maybe I can get a second-hand car in that market, you know, German-looking car, really great. But how do you then, you know, what's the sort of checklist that you should be, you know, thinking about? Because we normally talk about a financial checklist before buying a home, but what should the financial checklist be for buying a fancy, you know, German or Italian model sort of a second-hand car?
Yeah, before you jump into your beautiful car, you need to look at things like insurance. So insurance is a big one. As much as many people try and overlook it, insurance is big, is more expensive on the shinier luxury cars, because the Totties also love shiny luxury cars. They use them for their cash heists and all sorts of things. So you must realize insurance is a big cost. When you're looking for insurance, don't go for the lowest cost insurer, because lowest cost often comes at a price, because when you make a claim, they'll make you jump through hoops and under mountains and under bridges just to pay a claim, whereas the premium insurers normally are less of a fuss. Because they have a bigger risk pool, and so go for a reputable company when it comes to insurance. Don't go for the new kids on the block. Try and go for reputable big insurers. Other underlying cost: big shiny German or Italian motor has big shiny fat wheels. Tires are a significant cost, which comes every year or 2 years, depending on how you drive. And many people don't realize that how expensive they are till they have to replace them. So unless you have a motor plan which includes tires, be very afraid, because those big shiny German and Italian saloons have big fat tires which are thin as a ruler, and they're running over Joburg's potholes, and tire will become an issue very quickly. Big shiny German or Italian car, tax disc. Yes, the bigger the car, the more expensive it is, the SUVs especially, the tax disc annual renewal. You know, when you do, if you haven't budgeted and planned for it, that's a shock to your financial system. You will be closely reminded about your big car every time you renew your tax disc. So that's another cost which a lot of people don't look out for. And then there's a lot of little maintenance things you need to consider, things like the service warranty. So if you buy a motor vehicle which is now out of warranty, as sometimes used vehicles are, you need to know the cost of servicing that car, because some of these cars are expensive. Air filters, oil filter, petrol filter, all these need to be replaced regularly. So be conscious of the cost of servicing your vehicle. And again, this is where those rare motors, you want to avoid them, because to service a rare car, the parts will be very expensive there. And you only can get the original parts, because when you're talking parts, there's what they call OE parts, which is original equipment parts, which are the ones from the dealership with the logo of your car. And then there's also aftermarket parts, which are often as good as the original ones, but they are much cheaper. So try and get cars where there's an aftermarket of service parts and service kits to keep you going.
There was this trend, and I'm not sure if it's still something that's happening here, where, again, I will say cool kids in inverted commas would lease out cars, like those fancy looking cars, so you look great on the road and you've got, you know, something to show people. Is leasing a car ever worth it?
Look, leasing a car is different strokes for different folks. You don't actually need to own a vehicle. So leasing a car is basically saying I'm going to be in a permanent rental and I can afford to be in this permanent rental. And every 2-3 years, they give me a brand new, shiny new car. And I never have to worry about servicing. And for you, it might be the most convenient thing. So leasing might be an option for someone who wants that no-frills access to a motor vehicle. Or maybe you're a sales rep who does high mileage and you don't need the horrors of a car stopping in the middle of the road. So leasing is definitely an option, and it's quite popular overseas. Cars are used just like cell phones. When the new model comes up, you just give it back, get the new one, except unlike a cell phone, you don't get to keep the old one. So yes, I would say there's value in leasing, especially for the very expensive cars where ownership is prohibitive. I mean, if you look at the shiny German or Italian saloon, it's the same cost as a middle suburb house, middle class home, 1 million, 1.2 million on a motor vehicle, whereas you could be leasing that same car and paying far less. And it's really, I would say, look at your cash flows and consult with a financial planning professional. If your cash flows can support a lease, it might be a better option for you.
I want to come back to that financial, professional. Do you get the sense that people understand, the difference between residual or balloon payment methods and the risks that come with it?
No. No one understands residual. No one understands balloon payments. I'm a financial planning professional, and sometimes I find it hard to get myself around some of the numbers which they come up with. But essentially, a residual or a balloon payment is saying we're going to give you a discount on the car. So you're going to get a 30% discount, which means that your monthly installment is only on 70% of the car. The other 30%, let's talk about it on the last month when you're supposed to be finishing the car. We wanted it all as a lump sum. And that's where a lot of people get caught out with balloon and residual, because suddenly when they think they are finished paying off their car, they're told, well, no, we actually gave you a discount of $300,000. Please may you give us back that money. So, and then they are forced into refinancing. So I think balloon payments and residual are used by the banks to ensure that you stay in debt. You perpetually always be driving a car in debt, because when that balloon payment comes out, you have to refinance it with another car and you restart the whole cycle again. So I would say, look, if you want true financial freedom, you want to really start creating wealth for yourself, rather go for a used vehicle, pay it up, don't replace it, maintain it well. That extra money you would have been paying for a car installment, put it in some sort of investment. Start building your wealth. A lot of people are losing out hundreds and thousands of rand on vehicles. And also one thing about a big, shiny, brand new car is that it drastically reduces affordability when you apply for a home loan. So the number one reason why people get declined home loans is affordability. And it's mainly because they're driving cars which are too high of value. From my perspective, I say don't pay more than 10 or 15% of your net salary on a car installment.
Oh, wow. I love having conversations with, people like yourself, because there are many financial decisions we think about, but having conversations with you, it sobers me up and sobers other people up, because then we can actually think about the realities that we may not have considered. And I wanted to ask, because we're still in this pandemic and COVID-19, and we know about the devastating impact the pandemic, especially those lockdown restrictions, had on individuals' finances. What were some of the, experiences and cases you were going through as you were advising your clients about managing their money? Because last year could have been a roller coaster for a lot of people.
Well, definitely. A lot of people had cars which they were paying used installments on parked in the garage, and it was a huge expense. And now you have the hybrid work environment where you're going into work twice or three times a week. And, that the car suddenly starts to become a huge cost. I saw a study in one of the newspapers the other day which said that if you work a certain distance from home, if you catch me on Twitter, I'll give you some of the details. If you work a certain distance from home, it's actually cheaper for you to live a life using a ride-hailing service forever. Call yourself the ride-hailing car, the black if you want the luxury, but never need to actually pay an installment. It's cheaper for you to drive around that way. And that's what it's starting to look like in many instances for some people. Unless you're driving a Joburg to Pretoria kind of work commute, it becomes less sensible now, especially with the cost of fuel, to be driving an expensive car for a short commute of 15 kilometers or less.
So some of the, you know, lessons that I suppose we should be thinking about right now. So say I've fallen off, the wagon a little bit. I was doing pretty well with my finances. Everything was going great. I've just got this car that I bought pre-COVID. Mm. It's a little rocky now, and maybe, you know, I'm just trying to come back on the straight and narrow, especially when it comes to my long-term goals, my retirement, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. How do I come back onto, you know, not the straight and narrow, because that sounds so strict, but how do I pick myself up again?
Mm. You can bounce back, definitely. I think, you know, there is a bit of a silver lining in the rand losing so much value towards the US dollar, in that car prices have gone up so much. So now you have certain instances where you are selling a used vehicle and you're getting more money than you would have gotten a year or two ago for the same car, because the rand has lost value and the replacement cost of that car is now so much more expensive. So I've had instances where people have sold their used vehicles for more than they bought it, simply because it's one of those models that's in demand and the price has gone up so much. So you need to sit down with your financial planning professional for certain makes and models. If you don't have the dreaded residual or balloon payment, you can probably get out of that car without owing the bank anything, simply because the price of used vehicles has gone up that much, because new vehicles are simply now almost a dream for most people. So there's that opportunity if you're in that situation. Don't be brought down by a car. Rather make that decision and trade in the car. If you bought that car in the last week, 2-3 weeks, and you're listening now and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I'd known this. Also know that your consumer rights allow you to return a car. You can return it within 30 days, return the thing.
Yes. I had no idea that that was an option. Oh, my goodness. So no. You learned something new on Kaya Biz. That's why I love the show.
No, definitely within 30, 60 days. 30 days, definitely. It's called buyer's remorse. Take it back. I've changed my mind. Take the car. And yes, they're going to say, okay, it was brand new. You're going to pay us 10% depreciation. Look, I'd rather you paid 30,000, 40,000 rand depreciation than end up in a marriage with a car, which is going to cost you 500 or 600,000 in the next 5 years. You need to realize that you will need to be accountable for your decision. So yes, you bought wrong and it's going to have a consequence, but rather you get out on a positive in terms of saying, I changed my mind. Because a lot of people know that made the wrong decision. The moment they finish showing the car to their friends, they know I shouldn't have. And, you know, I think, you know, we're going into that festive period where the car dealerships are going to say, buy the car now, only pay in March or April 2022. Return it. Return it if you decide you want to show your friends. Return it, but it's going to cost you 40,000-50,000. Mm-hmm. So do you really want to show off for 40,000-50,000? Rather go rent a car. They will never know. They'll see you drive it over the Christmas period. You take it back and you start commuting again. And let's start making those better financial choices. You know, I'm really saying let's create second and third income streams. So unless that car, whilst you're at work, is working for ride hailing, do you really need it parked downstairs waiting for you?
Before I let you go, how important is it to have that continuous, talking relationship, that communication with your financial advisor, especially when you're going to make those big ticket item purchases?
I would say it's extremely important. You know, you need to always have a good relationship with a financial planning professional, preferably someone who you pay a fee, not someone who's on for commission. These commission guys, they will sell you anything. They'll sell you a cat to the dog if they have to. Don't. If they have a badge behind them, they're selling a product for that company, they will try at all means to always get you into something. Try get someone who's independent, who's fee charging, where it's a relationship based on a fee and the advice is genuine. Keep that relationship strong. Set financial goals which will create wealth. And yes, people will laugh at you that you're driving an entry-level motor vehicle, but they won't be laughing when you buy a ticket to New York every year because you've got extra money to spend.
All right, Gerald, thank you so much for your time. Gerald, giving us some really serious tips there to consider. And he did say you can take it back. You still have time if you got it a week or 2 weeks ago. That is Gerald Mwandambira, who's the acting CEO and chief strategist at the South African Savings Institute.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959. On the streets, on the air.